Right, guys, welcome to the Scottish Football Focus podcast, where we are going to cover the three main Glasgow teams and hear a perspective from each of their fans. We have Matthew Lester, who is a Partick Thistle fan. We have Ethan McCormack, who is a Rangers fan, and Cameron Granger, who is a Celtic fan. We're going to cover all the games in order. Thistle's game on Friday, Rangers on Saturday, and then Celtic on Sunday. Just go through the main talking points of each team. So we'll start, obviously, with Matthew. Thistle lost 3-1 at home to the Dunfermline on Friday night. Once again, losing a lead. Not quite as many late goals as usual, but once again, Thistle throwing away a game that they kind of had in the balance. How frustrating is that? And what are your thoughts on the game at the weekend?
It just seems to be we're a first half team. Second half just non-existent, conceding late goals, defensive errors, goalkeeper errors. It's just a recurring factor. We can score goals, but we just can't defend. It's not a good start when we've got Ross Stewart playing in goals as third string keeper. I'd rather David Mitchell in. We've got more trusted and reliable.
Right, so obviously with in the Championship now, Raith Rovers and Dundee United are the top two, kind of pulling away. There's a 13-point gap between Thistle and the top of the table. Do you think that's kind of out of reach now?
I'd say finishing top is more or less out of reach. We've got Dundee United on Saturday at Far Hill. If we win that, you never know, it could sort of change the tide, but I think it's quite unlikely that we could get to that top spot.
Right, so obviously now you're kind of still comfy in the playoffs. You've got Morton fourth. There's kind of a close gap between the two of yous, but after that, there's a bit of a gap. Do you still feel pretty comfortable you'll get a playoff place, or with the recent sort of wobbles, do you think that could be an issue?
I'd say the playoff place should be secured. I mean, we did have a 10-point advantage within the last month, which has just disappeared. But I think we've got Ayr United Tuesday night, and then we've got Dundee on Saturday. So I think those two games back to back quite tough. We'll just show what the character is, and then from there we might be able to see if we'll be able to secure that playoff spot.
Right, brilliant. So obviously with promotion, would you rather Thistle, if they was possible to go up through the playoffs against Livingston or Ross County again, would that be something you think would be better for Thistle, or do you think maybe another year in the Championship to build on this year and build a squad that can maybe win the league and do better going up would be more beneficial, or do you think Thistle would have a decent chance at staying in that league if they did get up?
I don't know so much about what chance we'd have, but we'd be stupid to turn down the money that you get for going up. There's a big financial benefit to getting promoted, and then if we then did get relegated, there is still the financial benefit of getting relegated. But I'd say that we would be stupid not to go into the Prem. I don't know how well we'd fare, but it's a nice change up for the fans to give a wee bit of hope as well.
Right, and just to the other two boys, Cammy and Ethan, do you think it'd be better to have a team with Thistle in the Premiership, as well as a Dundee United, or instead of like a Ross County or Livingston, do you feel they, offer more to the league than some of these teams down the bottom just now do, or do you think it's a much of a muchness?
Yeah, I think Partick Thistle are definitely like I would rather them than like a Dundee or a St Johnstone, definitely. Just I feel like the Partick Thistle fan base is a bit more. There's a bit more there with them. I feel like they've probably got a bigger sort of media presence as well. And obviously, it's another Glasgow team. So exactly. So I would definitely welcome them back into the league.
Ethan, any thoughts on that?
I don't know. I think it's much of a muchness to me, to be honest. I feel that for the last three or four seasons, it has been talks of Thistle always coming up and, oh, what happens if we give them one more season to sort of rebuild and go again sort of thing. That seems to be a very much ongoing thing for the past couple of seasons for Thistle. It's to get a good run going and then to slowly start tearing it away and slowly start beating themselves up and taking away their own good results through the start of the season to then the latter stages of the season, sort of messing it up with bad results and stupid defeats.
Yeah,
So I
Thistle
think it'd
falling
be
apart
much of a
again.
muchness. Yeah, I think it'd be much of a muchness for me. I don't think they'd really change anything in the sort of Premier League or would even really get a good run going in the Premier League, to be honest.
Right. Right, so just finally, Matthew, obviously there's been a bit of an upturn since Doolan took over for me and McCall. Thistle are still in a pretty much similar position, but Doolan's had a lot more budget constraints than McCall had to get into that same position. Do you feel overall he's doing a good job for what Thistle have got, or do you think he could do better, or do you think there's someone out there that could do a better job?
I think he's doing a good job just now. He's got a good rapport with the players. He's got a good rapport with the academy. The fans love him. He's a hero with the fans. I hope it doesn't end up being the same as it was with Archibald, where it was a fan hero and he just overstayed his welcome. If it got bad, I don't think Dylan would be in that same sort of position, but I've still got trust in him, and I think they'll still keep him on for a wee while.
And obviously, you're saying there's that affinity with Dylan, the amount of goals he scored, he's also a club legend. And at times, Thistle were a kind of one man team when they were in a Premiership. Do you feel there could be an issue that Thistle are becoming a bit too reliant on their current striker, Brian Graham? He's got 17 goals this year, and there's not really many goals coming from many other places in the team. Fitzpatrick comes in with a few as well as other midfield players. But do you think there could be an issue with being sort of a one man team, or do you think there's still enough spread around the team?
I think there's still enough spread. I'd say the substitutes that we're making just now, the game a couple of weeks ago, substitute came on, two goals straight off the back. I feel like it does run through Brian. That's the way this will play. But when he's not in the park, if there's any issue with him, we find another way to do it. It's just when he is there, obviously we're going to use the skills that he's got.
And finally, you've touched on a point earlier about the goalkeeper. First of all, I've used three goalkeepers at different points this season as sort of starters. You obviously had you're criticising Ross Stewart, who came in from Livingston for the game at the weekend, but you've also had Jamie Seddon as number one at a time this year, and earlier year David Mitchell. Do you feel this is causing a bit of instability at the back, with defenders not being able to build up a rapport with the goalkeeper, chopping and changing it? Do you feel this having an impact in Thistle's season?
I'd say it's not just rapport, it's confidence as well. Because as a defender, you're thinking, my goalkeeper's getting replaced, I'm not doing a good enough job to defend him. Jamie Seddon, prone to make mistakes. He's made many mistakes, rebounds throughout the season. Ross Stewart, again, one of the goals in the Dunfermline game, parried it straight to the boy. It was a good save, but where he's aimed to parry, it's just went right to his feet and it's landed right at him. For me, it's got to be David Mitchell that's in goals, fit and healthy. Obviously, Sneddon was injured for the game on Friday night, but in my opinion, it should be David Mitchell that's in goal anyway.
Right, well, that's what we're going to cover from the game at the weekend. We will touch on Thistle's game. It was air midweek at the end of the show, but that pretty much sums up the talking points from the weekend. Ethan, we'll go on to Saturday for Rangers game at home to Hearts. 5-0 win, pretty dominant performance. Is that the best performance you've seen from Rangers this year or in a good few years? How does that rank for you?
I think that's our sort of turning point. I think now we're hopefully starting to push ourselves now. We've got a bit of confidence. I think you can see a lot of likes, and I think a lot of Rangers fans would agree with us that yesterday as well, I feel like the goal starting us off nice and early, I feel like that had the crowd on our back. You can see us misplacing a couple of passes or what, but still you can see the crowd getting up, clapping, pushing the team forward to drive on for more. And that's what I really like about Clement's style as well. You see that we're up 3-4, and he's still pressing, he's still screaming to get everybody up the pitch and he wants more from us. So I feel like he's coming in and giving the team a really good boost from where we were for Beale. I feel like we didn't have a really identity when we were playing under Beale. And I feel like the players that Clement's got as well, obviously he brought in a lot of his signings in January, and they scored yesterday as well. A lot of his signings that he brought in yesterday scored. So it's good to see that his sort of transfers that he's bringing in as well, sort of hitting the ground running as soon as they're starting. I really like the looks of this Diamandi, so I do. I really like the looks of him.
Right. So obviously, since the Old Firm defeat just before New Year, Rangers won every single game they've played. Do you feel this momentum is just going to keep going, or are you still worried for, you know, even coming up on Wednesday, the game away to Kilmarnock on that pitch? Do you think Rangers' momentum will carry them through these tough games? Or do you still think there's going to be a few slip-ups along the way and momentum doesn't really mean much game by game?
No, I think the momentum that we've got is sort of taking us on this stride right now. To be honest, I was more worried for the game coming up during midweek than the Hearts game that we had there at the weekend. I do think going away to Killy still will be a hard game for us, and it always has been a hard game for us to go down there with the pitch and the lakes and the way they set up their team when we're down there. We always seem to give away stupid goals or not get the ball away, but the momentum that we've got going on right now, I think it's the right way we should be going forward, looking ahead, and nobody's getting complacent here. It seems to be everybody's looking forward to the next match. You know what I mean? We're not talking about what other people are doing. It seems to be the team are just focusing on themselves at the moment and trying to get their run of games going and not looking at what other teams are doing in the league.
Yeah, brilliant. So obviously you mentioned since the managers came in, there's been a turnaround. Do you credit that all down to the managers, or do you think under Beale there could have been a turnaround and it was just taking time to get going, or do you think it is the manager's impact?
I think it's possibly a bit of both. I think Michael Beale had maybe a wee bit too much of close connections with the team that he fought from previous. Maybe he still thought he had a couple of pals up here. And I think when Lamont's came in, I think he's taken to the squad really well. But I also think the players are coming together as a whole now. I feel like there was a wee bit of divide and sort of players not helping each other or players not sort of talking to each other, maybe behind scenes. And I think there was a wee bit of divide in the team. But now I feel like we've got that kind of back together. We've got this togetherness and we're all trying to go together instead of people putting in their own performances and trying to play for themselves. I feel like now we're playing as a team. I think we're starting to push momentum.
Yeah, I feel like that was a big issue at the end of last season, especially the likes of Kent and Mirallis still trying to play the way they had 2-3 years before. And then when things weren't coming off, they were kind of just taking a huff, pointing fingers and stuff like that, and the rest of the team. You mentioned, obviously, like look at Diamandé, the January business yesterday, all three January signings getting the score sheet with Silva and Cortez both scoring. Do you feel the difference in January business from, say, January previous years in the summer, getting good business done is going to help push on towards the end of this league campaign?
Well, yeah, I definitely think so, because I feel like the players we've bought have now got a bit of value behind them as well. It seems to be that we're going for players that are a bit younger with some good potential that can make us some good money come in a couple of seasons or a couple of years.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel that we've went for the right module now, the sort of transfer module, or looking out from the English leagues or down south in the likes, you know what I mean? Or just getting players from nations. But right. No, I feel like...
Sorry.
Oh, on you go, on you go.
Right. So obviously you're talking about January business is good, but the one signing Rangers didn't make was a number 9. Celtic did make a number 9 with the signing of Adam Eder, who you've seen make an impact. However, Cyril Dessers did get 2 goals yesterday. Fabio Silva came on and got another, and also the return of Kemar Roof. But do you feel not signing that number 9, that goal scorer, Amiowski, Lauren Shankland, Will, do you think this could cost Rangers in this league title race?
No, I don't really think it will cost us, to be honest, because it seems to be now that we're getting a lot of goals from all the different areas now. It seems to be that we're getting midfielders now that are scoring. We've got our wingers that are coming into play now and scoring. And you've also got Dessers up now that seems to be firing. I think I read that under Clement, he's 13 games and 11 goals. So he seems to be doing something right with Dessers. Dessers can... I don't mind Dessers, but I think he does have his moments where you look at him, you wonder how he did get here, but fair play to Clement for sort of keeping him down. And even though he's missing chances sometimes during the game, keeping him on there because he knows he will finish one of them and it might become pivotal for the game.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Right, so I do have one more point about the Old Firm games, but I think I'm going to touch on that with Cammy as well. So I'll come back to you and we'll get kind of an overall point on that when we come to it. So Cammy, coming to you now. Celtic leaving it late once again. You've seen that obviously under Ange Postecoglou, that Celtic would leave games late and get winners. And they're doing it again here. Do you feel, obviously, though, the performances, a lot of criticism with the manager and the team, but they are still grinding out results more often than not. Do you feel there's a big change, or do you think it's just been a poor run of form and they'll come back into it and this is kind of a kicking point today?
There's definitely been a big change in football and style, I would say. It's to me, it's night and day compared to the way we're playing under Ange compared to Rodgers. Everything's slower, everything's sideways and backwards, and using your centre-backs to sort of progress the game and create, but we just don't have the players to sort of play that way. And I don't know, in terms of leaving it late, yeah, I think we almost need a sort of wake-up call in some of these games. Where we go behind or we play terrible, like the first half today was terrible, and we almost need a wake-up call, like Motherwell to score, and then we start going. There's definitely a lack in sort of intent the way we're playing. It's sort of very passive, and then when we need to go for it, we will. But, you know, with Ange, it was total sort of gung-ho, style cool football. Yeah, and I think sort of the way that we've played the last, you know, two seasons, the standards are so much higher now in terms of the way Celtic should be playing, especially if it's really the same players bar a few. So yep. to see the change, I think it's down to the manager, to be honest, more than anything. Yeah, a big change, I think. And as for if it's a badge on form, we've been playing this way all season, I think. Especially, you know, there was a few decent games like Aberdeen and Hibs, and Kelly at home 3-1. But there was other games, losing Hearts home, even the opening game of the season, it was very shaky.
Yeah, that's what I was going to touch on next. The start of the season, Celtic dropped 6 points in between August and December. Since then, they've dropped the double amount since the start of December. Do you think this is maybe an issue with the squad? There's not the same depth that they had last year, and the injuries and fatigue are catching up? Or do you just feel that generally the squad's not as good and this was bound to happen?
I don't know, because I've spoke to people about this before, and I feel like Postecoglou would have got a tune out of a lot of these players that we've signed. And I actually think most of the players we've signed are probably decent players. If you look at like Lagerbielke, he's young player of the season. Narowski playing in Legia Warsaw, highly rated. Home, another one, highly rated youngster. It's not like we're signing random nobodies with no sort of credibility. Yeah, it's a hard one, I think. And especially with the manager coming out and talking publicly, kind of, he's almost thrown the players we have signed under the bus, talking about quality, and he's kind of writing them off already. I think there's a wee bit of sort of, it's almost, it doesn't help the players, I think, sort of talking like that. And I think it's probably a confidence thing as well, with the way that we have been playing, and especially if you look at Kyogo. Players are suffering with their confidence, definitely.
So just touching on the Kyogo point, obviously Kyogo this time last year had 20 goals already. Well, I say, I can't remember the exact number. I think he was hit 30, or was very close to hit 30 goals last year.
Yep.
He's only just over double figures in all competitions this year. Do you think this is down to maybe a regression in his play, or do you feel the way Rodgers is using him is impacting the play?
It's the way Rodgers is using him. He's with Kyogo before, it was always sort of, it was a tried and tested sort of way that we played him. You know, the wingers would always go down to the byline, flash a ball across the box kind of thing, and Kyogo would be in there to tap it. That was mostly the way he scored. But now, I don't know what's changed, but we just don't really seem to do that anymore. We've got like the same players, but they just don't do it now. It's your wingers rather than trying to beat their man, they'll now, you know, take it back and try and cut in. And especially with Rodgers, I think he's sort of messing about with Kyogo almost. He's trying to fit Kyogo into the way he wants to play. He'll try and, Kyogo's drop into midfield and try and be a creative player. And he played Ida, and he played Kyogo almost behind him.
Yep.
And it's really, I don't think there's anyone to blame other than the manager, to be honest, because you've seen the goals Kyogo scored, and even this season in the big games, he still does deliver when it's a wee bit more open, I guess. But I think it's the style of play he's sort of suffering from. But I think his confidence is suffering because of that. Yeah.
And touching on Ida, obviously we spoke with Ethan saying Rangers didn't bring in a number 9, Celtic did, and he obviously got the two goals against Hibs, the late penalty there.
Yeah.
He got another late goal today. It wasn't the final goal, but it was a decisive goal today. Do you think that could be a big difference, or do you still think Kyogo's going to be the main man?
I think he's definitely exceeded my expectations for him. When I saw we signed him, I didn't really know much about him, and I was just like, this is a total desperate, hit and hope sort of transfer. But I think I'm glad we signed him. I think he's sort of different dynamic. He's like big, physical, and he definitely does have good qualities. I think with O, you can never really, we knew he was never going to be, you know, he was never going to come in for Kyogo. If Kyogo got a long-term injury and he came in, if O came in, I think we would struggle. But with Ida, I think he's going to, he just offers something a bit different. And at least when he's coming on now, you're kind of like, right, okay, he can do something. But
I watched the second half today, and I kind of thought that myself, to be honest, Cammy. He gave you a big different dynamic.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think Motherwell kind of realised how much Our presence, the boy was. He took his first goal really well. That header was a phenomenal header. It was a really nice header, so it was. So I don't think Motherwell sort of expected him to come on and sort of have the presence he done and sort of bully players about. I think his height and his strength worked really well for him and gave Celtic a different dynamic, as you said. He's very good playmaking as well.
I've never seen him before.
I don't know what his sort of stats and all that was when he was at Norwich, but no, he seems to be a good player for you and a different dynamic to come on and get a goal for you.
Yeah, I think it was the Kilmarnock game where we drew, but he played in sort of first half. He was really good at linking up play, just sort of holding the ball up and linking up. He technically actually looks good. But I think you're right with offering something different. I think as well with the way that we play off Rodgers, it's easy to nullify Kyogo as well, because it's very much kind of sort of playing through the middle sometimes rather than these sort of crosses, low crosses across the face of goal. So I think, he's definitely offers something different.
Right, and finally, just on, you touched on Rodgers, you're saying he's the issue for a lot of the changes at Ange. Say, obviously, if Celtic don't win the league, I think, am I right saying you think that should be the end of him?
Yeah, definitely.
But if Celtic do turn it around, do you still want to see Celtic win this league title on the last day by 2 points or win it by 5 points? Do you think it should be given another year to try and rebuild and keep going? Or do you think it should be such a drop-off that it's better to cut the losses and look for someone more progressive?
Yeah, I would, even if we done a double, which we definitely won't, but if we did, I would still probably want him gone. It's easy to say that now. Maybe if it does happen, I'd come and say, he's great. But no, just the way we've played this season, there's like I can count on one hand the good games that I've actually been to, and the terrible games just actually outnumber them. I think just the way we play, especially with a lot of fans as well, there's definitely a sort of divide.
Chris, is it fair to say you feel a little bit hurt?
Oh, sorry.
Very hurt.
That's me. Sorry. But the wrong thing. Right, so final point with the two boys about the Old Firm, and then we'll come back to Matthew and preview the game for Thistle. Obviously, Celtic have won the two Old Firm games this year. Cammy, are you confident going to Ibrox at the start of April with the way things are currently that Celtic can still grind out an R result when it matters?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I think the momentum is totally switched now, and I think I can't see Rangers dropping too many points up until that point, and I can see us dropping more. But we've done it twice. I think the way Rodgers plays does suit sort of more open games. But I think just with the momentum, and I think as well Rangers are now getting their players sort of firing, I think it will be, I don't think we'll come away with anything from Ibrox.
Ethan, do you think similar? Do you think Celtic will still turn up on the big day as they have done the last sort of two and a half years?
I think they'll turn up. They always seem to turn up in the big games against us, but I do think as well, it's very hard to say what type of team we'll be against Celtic. All right, it was one of Clement's first couple of games, wasn't it? I think Celtic, so we didn't really get to style in, sort of still working on it at the time. All right, we kind of took it to the end of the game to sort of start pushing for it. But I don't know. I think still when they come up against these games, I do think sometimes Celtic still have a wee bit of mentality over us at times. But hopefully, with the momentum changing and that, I hope the players start to believe in themselves a wee bit more when these bigger games come up. And the likes of Batiste and the likes, you know what I mean? Take stuff from that game and try and work in that room. When we're playing Celtic, the bigger teams, just to see what we can do.
Right, so previewing the weekend's games now, Thistle are away to Ayr United. Ayr, right outside the playoffs, a win for them brings them right back into it. Obviously, with the poor result at the weekend, Thistle, could be up against it, especially going down to Ayr. It's cold, it's dark, it's an old-fashioned stadium. Ayr's top scorer, Antoine Dowds, former Thistle player. Matthew, am I right in saying he's still on loan, or did they make the signing permanent?
Yeah, I believe he's still on loan, yeah.
Right, so that's one thing out of the way. So they'll be without their top goal scorer. That should give Thistle a bit of an advantage. How confident are you going down there and getting a result, Matthew?
Well, with Fair United, I feel like the games are either really tight or Thistle just run over the top of them. They've not beaten us since, I think it was October 22. Obviously, we had the good run of games in the playoffs against there with the 8-goal aggregate over the two games. That absolutely destroyed them down in there. And I just feel like it's a must-win game. The way Morton are going just now, the only team that seems to be beating Morton this season is us, which gives me a bit of hope. But they are flying just now. I think they're 5 games unbeaten. And before that, you've got a handful. You can count in the one hand how many times they've been beaten this season. They're good at getting the draws, good at getting the wins, and they're really catching up with us. So we've got to win it on Tuesday.
Agreed.
Seeing Morton, it's the longest unbeaten run in like absolute years.
They went right at the bottom of the table at the start of the year and have shot right up, which kind of shows how quickly things
can turn. Such a tight league.
We scudded them at the start of the season, and from there, they've just picked up this form that's been amazing for them, but it's nervous for us.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of clubs can do that in the Championship, but mostly our bro. I feel like you've always got a wee secret team in there that seems to
Commit itself
up. It goes under the radar a wee bit.
Yeah.
Right, and just the other point on that, Matthew, is who... I know you want David Mitchell to start, but who do you think Dylan will go for? Do you think he'll stick with Stuart, or do you think Mitchell will get the call?
I feel like because he's gave Stuart the opportunity at the weekend, he's probably going to need to stick with his gut and keep him in goal. I think it would look like he's made a mistake if he sticks David Mitchell in goals, even though I'm not sure if the fans agree, but I would 100% have him in. I don't know if Sneddon will be back full fitness for Tuesday night. But even if he was, I would still take Mitchell over Sneddon.
Okay, and we'll jump on to Rangers game. They are away to Kamarnock, plastic pitch. Few horror shows there in recent years. The famous one being the Joe Worrall disaster, and then obviously a future Rangers player on a pre-contract, Jordan Jones, scoring the winner. Ethan, are you confident with the current form that you can still grind out a win there? Do you think it'll be comfortable, or are you worried about this game?
I'm worried about the game, just because, as you said before, we've had a couple of horror results going down there. And it's not a nice place to go down. For some reason, it's always somewhere where we struggle. Much like the likes of Celtic can struggle at Livingston at times, I feel like we go down to Kilmarnock and really struggle. So I feel like we'll struggle, but I do think we will grind out the result and win. I think we'll keep this momentum going, and I think we'll try and push ourselves ahead.
Tight one then, you're expecting?
I am expecting maybe a 1-0 or a 2-1. That's what my prediction would be. So yep. I was close on Saturday, so hopefully I get it right again. But I'm hoping we keep this momentum going and sort of Kelly. I don't know how Kelly are doing at the moment.
They're fourth in the table, beat Aberdeen by a controversial VAR call with Warnock. But Kilmarnock have beaten Rangers this year, beaten Celtic twice in three good results against Celtic and obviously the win against Rangers in the opening day. So I think Derek McInnes, it's like his Aberdeen team, they set up really well.
Very well coached.
I think it'll be stodgy. And I think if Rangers play as well as they can, they should get the win. But anything lower than that, Kilmarnock can definitely take advantage. Another team that are doing really, really well this year, just came up, Dundee. Celtic have the game against Dundee. I think this would be a lot more tricky if it was away from home, usually. But with Celtic at the moment, the atmosphere at Parkhead, Cammy, would you rather this game was at Parkhead, or would you rather be going up to Dundee for this game during the week?
I don't know. We've actually had better results away than at home. But I still think Celtic Park, Dundee, we should be winning easily, but I've said that about other games, Motherwell and Kelly, and it's not happened. So who knows? The atmosphere at Celtic Park has definitely become quite toxic, I think, especially if we're not playing well and the game drags on a bit. People start getting very frustrated. So yeah, I think that could be the case again if we don't have a good start.
And just a final point on that. Do you think, obviously, the majority of Celtic fans who have been watching the game on the telly today, there was away support. Do you think the boost, the relief of those late goals today will carry on with a bit of a good feeling into this game? Or do you feel because the majority of fans weren't actually at the game, it will still be kind of nervy and kind of not toxic, but just kind of waiting for something to go wrong to have a go? Or do you think this will give the atmosphere a boost after such a big late win?
Yeah, I think it will give it a boost. It's been sort of even the Kelly game, it was a good turnout, and I think people did go like expecting us to do well. It's just as the game goes on that it starts to get nervy. Especially like we're missing chances. You go into half time if you're behind or if you're level, and then I think that's when it starts to sort of happen. I think if we drop points today, then I think from the start, it would be very sort of nervy and toxic. But I think getting the result, it will get people sort of give them a bit of a buzz. But the team need to give us something good early on because we've not seen that enough.
The result might help as well. But that's great. Thank you all, the three for coming on. We're not going to do this every week. We will pick it up around this time next month, see where the lay of the land is. And by that point, we should have maybe a preview for a very, very tight old Firm game, and hopefully we'll have a better aspect on where Thistle are going to be in terms of their playoff spots. Very congested part of the season, and we'll have a better view. Rangers, of course, have their European games coming up. We'll touch on them with Ethan when we come back next month, if Rangers are still in or if they do go out to a very good Benfica side. But thank you, boys, for all coming on, and I'll see you all again next month.